Under federal law, non-exempt employees are entitled to overtime whenever they work more than 40 hours in a work week. A few states even require overtime in additional situations. Sometimes, however, certain myths can get in the way of employers meeting their overtime obligations, and this could result in employers facing penalties, lower employee morale, and other consequences. In this podcast, we'll debunk five myths about overtime and help you know the facts. Welcome to HRpreneur. I'm Jim Duffy. From Main Street to Your Street, the HRpreneur podcast is centered around helping small businesses like yours gain the knowledge you seek, from HR, payroll, and hiring, to time, taxes, benefits, and insurance. Today, we'll talk with our guest, Meryl Gutterman, about what you need to know to navigate overtime rules. Meryl is senior counsel with ADP's Human Capital Management Group. Hello there, Meryl. As always, it's great to have you back on the podcast again. Okay, so let's get to the myth busting. The first myth I'd like to bust is the one that says, if an employee is paid every 2 weeks, you can average their hours over 2 work weeks to determine whether overtime is due.
Yes, this is a myth and a myth that we should bust. The truth is, employers are prohibited from averaging hours worked over 2 or more work weeks to determine whether overtime is due. So under federal law, the determination of whether overtime is due has to be made on a work week basis. So if a non-exempt employee works more than 40 hours in any work week, they are entitled to overtime pay under federal law, regardless of whether you pay that employee on a weekly, biweekly, or any other type of basis.
So Meryl, how does this busted myth impact state law?
So a few states, including Alaska, California, Colorado, and Nevada, require overtime after working a certain number of hours in a day, and this is commonly called daily overtime. In these states, a determination of whether overtime is due has to be made on both a workday basis and a work week basis. So in addition to not averaging hours over work weeks, employers can average hours over work days to avoid paying daily overtime. And then there are often special rules for calculating overtime hours when an employee's hours exceed both the daily and the weekly thresholds in these states. So if you're operating in a state that requires daily overtime, make sure you're checking your state laws for details.
Meryl, that's good to know. Thanks for clarifying that. Our next myth is that you can refuse to pay overtime if the time was worked without prior authorization. What are the facts on this one?
So if a non-exempt employee has worked more than 40 hours or more than the state threshold for daily overtime, then they have to be paid overtime regardless of whether that overtime was pre-authorized. If you had a policy that no overtime work was permitted until authorized in advance, that still wouldn't relieve you of this requirement. So that said, you can subject your employee to disciplinary measures for working unauthorized overtime in accordance with your policy, but in no case can you withhold overtime pay.
Got it. So these same rules would apply to an employee who clocks in early and their hours then go over the overtime threshold, correct?
Exactly. In the case where an employee clocks in early, if a non-exempt employee has worked enough hours to exceed the overtime threshold, then they have to be paid overtime. Again, they can be disciplined for clocking in before their shift if that were to violate your policy, but you can't not pay them overtime.
What about the myth around when an employee voluntarily offers to forego their overtime pay? Do you have to align to their wishes? You know, for example, such as an act of contrition for maybe violating a policy or for having to work longer to correct mistakes made on the job.
We do get this question frequently, but the reality is non-exempt employees cannot waive their right to overtime, even if they were to do so voluntarily.
That makes sense, Meryl. And for our fourth myth, let's talk about the idea that employers in the private sector can give employees time off instead of overtime pay, a practice referred to as comp time.
Yes, this is a myth that's very much worth busting as well. Employers in the private sector are prohibited from giving non-exempt employees time off instead of overtime pay, this practice known as comp time, as you said. So for example, if a non-exempt employee worked an hour of overtime in the private sector, the employer would not be able to offer that employee 1.5 hours of time off instead of overtime pay.
So Meryl, up until now, we've discussed myths about when overtime is due. For our fifth and final myth, I'd like to cover calculating overtime pay, if you don't mind. Specifically, I'd like you to bust the myth that overtime pay is always calculated simply by multiplying an employee's hourly wage by 1.5 and then multiplying the result by the number of overtime hours worked.
This is a great area to clarify as well. The fact is that federal law requires employers to pay non-exempt employees 1.5 times their regular rate of pay for all hours that they work over 40 in a work week. And an employee's regular rate of pay includes their hourly rate, as well as the value of non-discretionary bonuses, shift differentials, and certain other forms of compensation. So if the employee receives these other types of compensation, you have to factor them in when you're determining their regular rate of pay. You can't just use their hourly rate, otherwise you would not be complying with the law.
So when you mentioned other types of compensation, would you mind just taking a quick moment to define what a non-discretionary bonus is?
Sure. So under federal law, most bonuses are considered non-discretionary, so they have to be included in the regular rate of pay calculation. And non-discretionary bonuses include bonuses that could be based on a predetermined formula, such as an individual or a group production bonus, or bonuses for the quality and accuracy of work that's done, or bonuses that are announced to employees to induce them to work efficiently, attendance bonuses, and safety bonuses. These bonuses are non-discretionary because employees know about them and expect the bonus. The fact that the employer had the option not to pay the bonus doesn't make the bonus discretionary.
Meryl, that was very interesting and helpful. And this brings us to the end of our episode. As always, thank you. I enjoy our discussions here on HRpreneur. And as I normally do, I take some notes while you're commenting, and I will share my highlights. But as always, please keep me honest. My first takeaway is avoid averaging hours over multiple work weeks to determine whether weekly overtime is due. If the employee works in a state with daily overtime requirements, such as Alaska, California, Colorado, or Nevada, also avoid averaging hours over multiple work days to determine whether daily overtime is due. My second takeaway is pay overtime even if it was worked without prior authorization. Even if the employee clocked in early without authorization, or the employee volunteers to waive their right to overtime. If you are in the private sector, don't use comp time instead of paying overtime. And lastly, Meryl, calculate overtime pay according to applicable federal and state rules. Did I get that right?
Excellent. You nailed it as always.
Presented by ADP, HRpreneur focuses on the entrepreneurs and business drivers who are shaping the growth of their companies and positively impacting the lives of their employees. With each episode, we'll bring the experts to you, answer your questions, and help you think beyond today so you can discover more success tomorrow. Thanks also to our listeners for joining us for today's episode. Be well, and we hope you'll join us again soon.